Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Seneca Scene, a podcast from The Herald, the campus newspaper of Hobart and William Smith Colleges. Each week, we bring you an extended interview with a member of the campus community, either faculty, staff, or student. Today, we have our second stay of the colleges, with Interim President Patrick McGuire, Dean Lisa Kenzig, and Dean Coram Hussein. They will be talking about student involvement, looking back on the past year, and plans ahead for the future. We're very excited to have all three of them together in the studio today for an interview. President McGuire, Dean Hussein, Dean Kenzig, thank you all for being on the show today. How are you all doing? You can kind of go from President McGuire down the line.
It's a very busy time of the year, and I'm trying to keep up with the two people that are with me and all the things that they have to do. So it's a very exciting time of the year. I'm looking forward to slowing down a little bit, whenever that is.
I'm feeling good. The sun is shining.
I've had a lot of chicken in the Vandervoort room, celebrating students, as April always is, and looking forward to all the celebration to come in the coming weeks.
That's actually a good transition for us, too, into what has been your highlight so far for the year. We're nearing, we're at the end of April, and we're nearing commencement and then the summer. And so what has been kind of the fun part or a good highlight for each of you?
I mean, for me, I had a baby, so that was a big highlight. On campus, I think engaging with student leaders, student government, honor societies, the Herald, I think that not only the opportunity to work with student leaders in those different places and spaces, but the depth of it, that students were really leaning in to a lot of our social issues and really doing the work and showing up for it. So I've been really proud to work with student leaders.
I would say the highlight of the year for me was to realize that this place that I have a lot of experience with hasn't changed fundamentally. The enthusiasm of the students, the dedication of the faculty, the experience and commitment of the staff, these are things that people are supposed to say, but I experienced them. And it's truly been an impressive year, and not surprised because these are the people that I know. So for me, that's been the highlight. I love working with students. I even love working with faculty and my colleagues on the administration. So I kiddingly say that the highlight of the year is now 65 days, 14 hours, and 23 minutes away. But the highlight has been the experience of being here. It's exhausting, it's exhilarating at the same time, and sometimes very, very frustrating. But I think my colleagues sitting here today can also explain that as well. So yeah, that's the highlight.
It's been a great year. It's been exciting to have all the new energy in both dean's offices. I've literally bounced into work almost every single day. I'm excited to work with people. I've learned so much from all of our colleagues who've joined us this year. I was thinking that a year ago we were doing the search for several of these new deans, and that there was a lot going on at that time and a lot of engagement and interest in who we would bring in, and it has been a fantastic team. So for me, that's one of them, but I'd say also the announcement of our new president, the first woman in the history of the colleges in almost 200 years to be the president of this institution. I think she's exactly the right person for us right now, and I'm really looking forward to working with her. And that was just an extraordinary amount of excitement at the announcement, and I continue to feel that each and every day.
That brings up a good point with the announcement. We're going to have a new president. President Joyce Jacobson will be joining us July 1st. So what are our all of your reactions to that? For Dean Hussein and Dean Kenzig, Dean Kenzig, you mentioned how you're excited to work with her and there's excitement in the room for that. What is it like for you two deans to be on this new path with a new president?
I was there in the Guerin Center when our new president, incoming president, introduced herself. And there were so many things that I appreciated already about what she spoke to. Relationships and communities was at the center of her message. And that really has been at the heart of what I think our work in the dean's offices has been moving towards, is a focus on relationships and an understanding of how we make communities more whole, intellectual, academic communities, but also the wider campus community, the relationship with Geneva, and the world beyond. So I was really excited by those two core pieces of her. And it was very earnest and personal, and there was a lot of storytelling there, which I was really encouraged. And so I was just sitting there giddy along, or standing there giddy along with everybody else when she spoke, because it was just exactly what we need right now, is a conversation about who are we relating with and what are we calling community.
Yeah, I agree. It was electric in that room when it was announced. And she is clearly a fundamentally authentic person. And I appreciated, like Dean Hussein, her ability to tell stories, her conversation about being a young person reading about Elizabeth Blackwell and that connection. I went up to her afterwards and sort of had a fangirl moment and said, I felt the same way. That was one of the three women biographies out of a set of 50 great American biographies when I was a young person growing up. And I remember reading that and how much it felt meant to be to me to come here. And I also told her that I have the same birthday as Elizabeth Blackwell, a few years apart. So it had always felt like it was sort of a fated thing for me to come here. But I also think she has worked her entire career as a faculty member, working in academic issues, having been a provost at a wonderful, also small liberal arts college like us. So I think she will be embraced by our faculty, and the core of the place is that we're a community of learners. And I think she understands that from her entire career and will be a really great next fit for us as a president and take us where we need to be in this next 5 to 10 years.
Well, I share both of those perspectives, but the two things that I wanted to mention is when you present yourself to this community and to get the unanimous approval right away, everybody that's talked to her, everybody that has an opportunity to listen to her, they're excited. And that has actually communicated itself to the entire Geneva community. Somebody who's a real professional. She's a professional faculty member, and I think she's a professional staff member. And I've had opportunities to talk to her and ask her all kinds of questions about the present and the future here. And her responses have just been right on the money. It's just, she has such an ease with decisions that it oftentimes raises in my mind that why did I spend all this time thinking about this issue when the answer was so simple? And she's very straightforward, and I'm looking forward to welcoming here. I'm going to see her. We have an organization that maybe you may have heard of called the New York Six, which are six schools along the New York State Thruway. That's the way they call it. And we have meetings of the presidents and the provosts and the deans and everybody throughout. So she's coming to the next New York Six meeting with me, which is just in a week's time, to be introduced to the other presidents. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity. I'm sure she will impress them as well. But even in preparation for that, she's just right on. And it's not an illusion. She's the full act. She's the full package.
Do you have any advice for her when she takes her position?
I don't want to be presumptive at all. She knows what this place is like. She understands it. She understands liberal arts. It won't take her long to read what's happening here. I've talked about our interdisciplinary nature, our critical thinking, the dedication of the faculty. She's seen that. She's felt that. So I will offer any and all advice that she asks for. I think she is actually looking forward to coming because of what she's heard about the place. She wants to see for herself. And I think she's going to put her mark on the place. I really do think that. So give her some concerns that I have with the place, but most of those are very positive. So, yeah.
What for all of you has been some of the challenges for your years? Because this is our State of the Colleges episode. We're looking back on things that have happened throughout the year. And what are things that you deemed as challenges and things that you want to look forward to working on next year?
I think that there's an expression, and I don't know who to quote here, but may you find yourself in the right kind of trouble. And I think we find ourselves at a point of opportunity with the challenges, particularly around issues of race, diversity, identity, and community. And what I think we have an opportunity to do is to really lean in. I want to commend the Herald for exactly the kind of work we need to do with our existing mechanisms for students to communicate and engage. And I think that within our roles, we need to do just that. So, for me, one of the challenges has been, points of reconciliation between the Seneca Nation and Hobart College. Not only that history, but how we narrate that history and how we want to narrate into the future. I think that the panel that we held was a really important first point where alumni, trustees, students, and scholars and activists could come together to talk about what the next 200 years could look like. I think that the work in the most recent issue of the Herald is incredibly important. I want to encourage everyone to read this in its totality. I hope it's assigned in classes so that we can begin to really have this conversation in earnest. There isn't anything that's going to happen that's worse than avoiding these things, right? Because a lot of what we're talking about is students and people that have already felt invisible, marginalized, and disregarded and misrepresented. So the worst thing we can do is to just try to avoid. And the best thing I think we're capable of doing is to really meet this challenge as an opportunity to listen with humility and with learning, and to, again, create different kinds of relationships between students, administrators, staff, and faculty. There's going to be times where I think students are rightfully supposed to protest and to be outside. I think that's a part of your development. I think that's part of the experience. I certainly experienced that as a student. I think that there's also opportunities here for us to be working together. And I was really struck by the ways in which, especially at the end of Grace Rubel's piece, she talked about how important that was in her recommendations for moving forward, that we need to be in conversation with students, and by we, I guess, I mean administrators. So I think that that's a really important challenge, and I think we've tried to face it with the coordinate conversation. We've tried to face it with the conversation about First Nation history, and we're trying to face it now with this most recent issue on race and diversity that's been released by the Herald.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I think in terms of over this past year, it's been an interesting year of kind of rebuilding, you know, and I think President McGuire deserves a lot of credit for helping to build the community here during a time of transition for the colleges. We've had a lot of new folks coming into the colleges, and I was thinking about this current first year group, the Hobart and Williamsville students who came in to us this past fall. They have shown up over and over and over again for a variety of different events on campus in huge numbers. They're really engaged. They're listening a lot, you know, and I always think about new members of any community. When I was a new member of this community, and the most important thing that I can ever do in almost any venue I enter is to really listen. And I think these first years, this group of students this year have really been taking it in. They've been listening to all these conversations. They've been reading the Herald. I know many first-year students who had this Herald assigned to them for reading in their classes over the weekend. And there are a lot of different points of view, right? And in the Herald, this issue, there are a lot of different points of view, and there are other points of view that aren't even represented there. And so I think continuing to listen to one another, to really hear the voices, to hear folks' experience, both positive and negative, and to understand that we want to do more to emphasize those things that have been good and supportive for people, and we want to do more very significantly to change some of the ways in which people are experiencing this place and our world, right? I mean, we're a microcosm of a larger culture, and we want to be a better version of that at all times. But I said this weekend at the Lavender graduation, I certainly will continue to say one of the reasons I am in higher education now for my career is that I like to be constantly learning. I want to be challenged. I know I challenged administrators rather loudly, and it's well done. Documented when I was in college, and I appreciate it when people do that as well here. And I think that's a good thing, you know, and I think we always need to be challenged. And if you're in the center of a power structure, then you need people on the outside saying to you, hey, this is what I think needs to be different. And some of us are on both the inside and the outside, depending on what our perspectives are on different issues, right? There are times when I feel like I'm on the inside of things, and many times when I feel like I'm more on the outside presenting a different perspective. And I think that's really important. I was thinking back to when we brought a consultant here to campus 8 or 9 years ago to talk with staff and faculty about LGBTQ issues. And he said to a group, a small group of us who were doing the organizing to bring him here, hey, you guys have in your literature everywhere that you're LGBT studies, but actually the T isn't there. And he pointed that out to us. And within 24 hours, that's all it took. Professor Dennis was working at the provost's office at the time. And within 24 hours, we had changed it so that the T was in the LGBT studies program. Nobody had even realized that that wasn't officially there. It was in some literature and not in others. That's how quickly sometimes you can make change happen. That T is really important. It remains important, right? And so I think there are ways that we can make change here very quickly because we're very small. And that's something I never want to be lost on students at any part in their experience here at the colleges, regardless of their class year. I've watched students here for 16 years make change. Some of it has happened quickly. Some of it has happened over generations of students, as certainly President McGuire has seen. But it does happen here, and it can happen more quickly because we are small. And I love that about this place.
Well, my answer to that question, I'm going to refer to the two colleagues next to me, because the response that you got for that question, if I go back to when I started, I didn't see that when I started. I just didn't. I knew it was there, but for some reason, and it was not stagnant, but I just didn't hear that enthusiasm. And these two people brought it out. I really give them credit. If you talk about student involvement and staff involvement, the deans are critical. And I think that their work, they reached out, they captured the first years, they captured all of the other years in terms of the programming and everything that was all involved. The faculty is still here. The faculty do a great job, and they're participating in that. But I think the enthusiasm and the direction that we were taking over the last year is tremendously responsible into the hands of the two people that are sitting next to me. I mean, I know the place. I came in, but I didn't recognize it right away. I really didn't. I spoke to a lot of people, and I was asking, what's going on? And I think it's just a question of getting you know, situated and getting organized. And all of a sudden, the year went on, and Dean Kensick is right about the first-year class. It's just incredible, their involvement. It really is. It's amazing. And people still remember me from seeing me and shaking my hand the first day. They keep reminding me of that. So it was really quite a wonderful experience. So from my point of view, that really is the major accomplishment. And I expect that to continue. Joyce is going to come in here and have two sidekicks who are really committed to this place. And she's going to be able to take it to another level. And I think she's comfortable with that. And I think she sees that. She saw that in the interview process. And if I can tell one small story about the consultants we had at a faculty meeting we had, in which the consultants were interacting with the faculty. A faculty member asked the chief consultant John. She said, "What's unique about us? Where do we stand out there in the field? You know, how do we rank?" I don't like to use the word rank. She said, and he stopped. He looked up in the ceiling, and he then looked out right at the questioner and said, "You don't realize what you have here. Outside of this place, there people admire the kinds of things that you do, and where you attempt to take students." And the imagination and commitment on the part of both the staff and the faculty is just amazing. And I think that's the first time that a group of faculty heard that from someone outside, you know, and then make them realize that. And who did they find? They found somebody who understands that. That's really the incredible thing. So from, again, I'll stop. But that's kind of my take on it. It's, you know, It was a tough start, but boy, I'll tell you, once it got going, it just kept rolling. And yeah, we have issues. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I didn't I didn't realize many of the issues, but I realize them now, and they are real issues because people really are concerned about them.
So. I think you're right that the deans especially have been doing an incredible job of mobilizing students. And I was at Moving Up Day and at Charter Day, and the amount of first years that were at both of them was pretty exciting and astounding. And I don't remember those kinds of numbers in years past when I've attended those events. So it leads me to wonder how are you guys, as a group, I guess, looking to continue the engagement of the students and continue to keep them involved in different processes and questions as we navigate the different problems and different things that pop up throughout a school year and at HWS.
One of the things I want to do is make sure that whatever we're working on, students are at the table. You know, as we look to expand our programming opportunities in both of the dean's offices, we want students to be there as advisors, as consultants, as participants, and leaders in that work. So as we continue the conversations about Hobart traditions and the history of the Seneca, I want students to be participants. And of course, the kind of traditional mechanisms of the honor society, student government, is going to continue to be an important partner in that. And really working with, I think that's one of the key features that I want to really look at the next semester and the next academic year through the lens of with and not for, as much as possible, that we are working with, that we are, you know, while we serve students, we are not the servants of students. And oftentimes that mindset comes from a transactional approach where students will come with a need, but that also reinforces kind of hierarchical relationships, and it isn't very flat, it isn't very collaborative, and it prevents us from being as creative and dynamic, as engaged as we really need to be, especially at a small institution where you can make changes happen faster than you can at large institutions. So I think that you know, with each of the rollouts that we have in the upcoming year, I hope the students will take those as earnest invitations to sit at the table with their ideas. And we appreciate that that's time consuming. We appreciate that that takes away from other opportunities. So we want to make those worthwhile, transformative for us and for the students.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good to come in this next year. I mean, we'll be as part of the looking at the coordinate experience here, we'll be hosting a speaker series on gender next year. And we're still talking about all the different ideas. We have lots and lots of ideas and different alums we want to bring back and various ways we want to celebrate that. But gender is very interesting and more than just female, male. It's a really, really broad and interesting area. And I think there's a lot that we can celebrate there and talk about and have interesting conversations about next year. So we're looking forward to that and kind of deepening our level of programming at the college as we've started that this year. We want to do more next year. And so some of these other initiatives kind of allow us to do that. But I also was struck at Charter Day and at Moving Up Day by the students' voices at those. But I got a lovely email this morning from a Hobart senior who had been at Moving Up Day for the first time ever. He came to celebrate some of his friends, and he wrote me an extraordinarily kind email telling me how much he'd enjoyed, as, and I'll quote him, the gorgeous event and seeing his friends celebrated and how much he appreciated. One of the things I always do at the end of Moving Up Day is talk about what's happened in the last 4 years since the seniors, the current, you know, I like you, Alex, the graduating seniors came here, and he particularly noted how much he appreciated me acknowledging that the first Posse graduation had happened while all of you were here, that the opening of the LGBTQ plus Resource Center happened, and that was really cause for celebration. I'd listed other things like Obanpan too, but... and that he thought that even with all the discourse around coordinate and the limitations and benefits of it, that he had a lot of faith now in the dean's offices to help lead those conversations moving forward. And that made me feel great. And I'm so grateful for that email and for the students who have said, you know, we see you evolving. We see you all changing. We see you all opening up a lot of conversations. And there are a lot of ideas that we have to continue to make that. that happen for next year. So like Dean Hussein, I also wanted to say how much I appreciated all of the good work of the Herald over this last year, particularly at year and a half, I would say, starting with last year and the ways in which you have led many of us. And that's the way it should be. I think one of the common themes all three of us are saying is students have to always be leading that learning that we're all doing here. And we count on you to do that. And there are a variety of ways that you can do it, but certainly this level of quality journalism is a really important one.
Yeah. And I think we have a responsibility, particularly to this generation, to really support their capacity to be as impactful in meaningful ways moving forward, right? This is a very change-minded generation. I was just saying that I'm really excited for May 1st because the new documentary, Knock Down the House, is coming out. And it's, I think, from what I can tell, largely about the women of color that have come into the House of Representatives. If that's not what we're doing here, if we're not building leadership, then we're not doing what we should be doing fundamentally. If that's what the life of consequence line that we hear again and again is about, then that's really exciting. So we're proud of the leaders that are going out in the world, and we really feel responsible for the ones that are just coming in.
I think that's a great way to kind of segue into our last question. The three of you have been on our show before. You probably know what we're going to ask. But we're going to frame it a little bit differently this time because you all have been on it at the beginning of the year. So we want to ask what you want your legacy to be and kind of framing it around this year for Dean Hussein, with it being your first year as dean, with President McGuire being your last year and third retirement at the colleges, and with Dean Kenzig, how you've seen the different changes throughout the year and how you've been in the dean's office for many years and seen things happen, what you're looking forward to as we move forward. So to President McGuire, Dean Hussein, and Dean Kenzig, what do you want your legacy to be?
I survived.
I'm going to go back to the same theme. I don't like to think of it as a legacy. I think it's a continuum, and it is wonderful to come back and see the same kind of enthusiasm that the students have for this place. And there were many changes that went on through the years, many crises that we faced, and I'm supportive of Dean Hussein's idea that we face a lot of crises, but that's the nature of it, and how we respond to them is what's important. And I think we have set the bar pretty high after this particular year, because the problems are surreal. We face additional difficulties that every liberal arts school faces, especially in the Northeast. So we have to pull together again and move forward. And once again, I think I can't take credit for our new president, but at least I walked in her path before she arrived. So I think we're ready for that kind of leadership, something that is thoughtful, forward-looking, aggressive, and I think it's going to take us to a new place.
When I was in college, I was in my senior year, two of my closest friends ended up meeting each other through me and became much better friends. And it was awkward for a little while because I think they were kind of like meeting behind my back because they really liked each other and they felt guilty. But I found out and I thought it was great. And I think that that's one of the best things that you can do in a life, is to foster relationships where sometimes you fade into the background, but you can witness those relationships. And so I don't know if that's a legacy, but I think that that's a wonderful way to just be in the world. And I would love to take that sensibility and see it just spread. I think it really already exists here in a powerful way, but we still have students and members of our community that don't feel fully connected, that don't feel like they can fully participate in all parts of campus life. And as much as I can from where I am, I'd like to help support cultivating relationships between people that forget who I am.
Yeah, end of my 16th year here, and we were talking a little bit before we got started about what am I looking forward to in the next week. There are a lot, but I think in terms of legacy, you know, that's for other people to decide, of course. I love students. It's what keeps me here every day. You know, someone once said to me, when are you going to stop doing this job? And I said, when I stop loving coming in every day and loving working with students. And that hasn't, thankfully, that hasn't happened yet. But I was thinking about tomorrow night, I will be very honored to be inducted as an honorary member of the new National Honor Society for First Generation Students and Alums, Tri Alpha. I think our president's also being inducted because he is first generation, but I founded the First Generation Initiative here in 2006, even though I'm not first generation. And so I was very excited that they have this National Honor Society. We've been invited to be a member. We were approved to be, I think, Zeta chapter or something, member of that. And tomorrow night I'll be inducted as an honorary member because I'm the founder. They can induct a couple people every year who are not themselves first generation. And so one of the things I feel like I'm always doing, and it's probably just from my own lens of sometimes feeling like an invisible person in some ways, but to always be looking out for our students who feel like they don't have as much of a voice or who people are not seeing. And there are a lot of different ways that we all are different. Some of them are more obvious and some of them are sometimes harder for people to see. And I think my interest in the beginning with helping to support our first generation students, which are over 15% of the students at Hoberna William Smith, was because I could tell a lot of them felt invisible, and the issues that they had and the ways in which they were experiencing this place and this world and the ways they didn't always feel like they could take advantage, as Dean Hussein said so well, of all that we have here were really important to recognize and to acknowledge and to program for and to find more support and mentoring for them. And that's something I'm very, very proud of. It's probably one of the things I'm the most proud of here. And I have continued to do that. I continue to look for students. And I often learn a lot from students and then realize other ways in which we need to program, to connect, to recognize, to make visible many of the students who attend here. So that's something that I think will always be really important to me. And again, that I'm always learning and always trying to do better about. But it's fundamental to my identity as a person and certainly as a dean here.
It's fantastic. President McGuire, Dean Kenzik, Dean Hussein, thank you all for being on our second State of the Colleges.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Appreciate it.
That was our second State of the Colleges with Interim President Patrick McGuire, Dean Lisa Kenzik, and Dean Coram Hussein. Thank you for tuning in to the Seneca Scene. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts or on the Herald website by going to hwsherald.com/podcast. Our show today was written and produced by Alex Karai. Our team at the Herald also includes Albert DeWorka, Henry Dewar, Grace Rubel, Gianna Gonzalez, and Audrey Platt. Our partners at WEOS are Kelly Walker and Greg Cotterill. We have recorded this episode live in the studio at Scanlink Campus Center. From the campus of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, this has been the Seneca Scene. I'm Alex Karai, and thank you for tuning in, and we hope you will join us next time.